My name is Brian Hornbuckle. I'm from Iowa State University. I'm talking about a new long-term experiment site for the validation and scaling of soil moisture observations. But I have a better and a succinct and maybe perhaps more memorable title for this talk is it's an Iowa validation site that we're trying to establish in the Midwest. And I'm working with people both from Iowa State University and also the University of Iowa and also the National Soil Tilth Lab, a USDA ARS facility in Ames. And the general idea is that we have potentially in the future these rich remote sensing observations that are going to be making measurements of the ground surface at many different scales. But the problem is it's hard to quantify or to validate these measurements. Even they potentially they're going to bring about a revolution, I feel, in land surface hydrology. But before we are able to use these types of measurements, we've got to put some solid numbers on them. And this is a 5-year study that's being sponsored by NASA to generate this site here in Iowa. So here's an example of a remote sensing image. This is a microwave remote sensing image. Remember, microwaves are longer wavelength radiation, so that as opposed to infrared and visible, microwaves actually penetrate into the ground, so you see a depth into the ground instead of just at the surface like with visible infrared. So this is what's called a differential interferometric synthetic aperture radar image in the Colorado High Plains. This is a paper by Nolan et al. In IEEE Transactions on Geoscience Remote Sensing. The spatial resolution is about 50 meters, and what it's showing, two examples on the left, is the difference in the path length of this radiation that's being sent by a sensor and then being scattered back to the sensor. And on the left, the difference between two dates, one in March, one in April, and on the right, one in April and one in May. So here's how this works. So again, microwave remote sensing can penetrate into the ground, so that a difference in the path length is going to tell you about how this penetration into the ground is changing. And it turns out for wetter soils, this penetration depth will be smaller, so the path length gets shorter. And for drier soils, the penetration will be deeper, so the path length gets longer. There's also possibility for some swelling in clay soils. So when the clay soils get wet, they swell. That also decreases the path length, so it's working with this penetration depth change. So essentially what's happening is when you see the dark colors, that means the path length has shortened between these two dates, one in March and one in April, which means water content is relatively high. And the warm colors, the yellows and the reds, mean the path length has increased between those dates, which means it's probably a drier area. So if you just look at these patterns, look at all the rich information here. It's just amazing. So you can ask some questions about this image. What are the differences due to? Is it precipitation that's causing these variations in path length and inferred water content? Is it snow melt? Is it topography? Is it soil type? Is it vegetation? Or is it it's probably a combination of all these things. But some very interesting science questions that we can think about. But in order to sort all those things out, we have to have a good quantitative understanding of what these remote sensing observations are telling us. So I would submit that remote sensing is the only option that we have if we want to do larger scale hydrology. We can't rely on point measurements to do that. We've got to use remote sensing to look at watersheds, regional scale, continental scale, global scale hydrology. But again, the challenge is to figure out what are these factors and how do they quantitatively affect these remote sensing images that we're getting. So we need to validate these images, and I define validation as the determination of the space-time statistical structure of these measurement uncertainties. And it's not something that we have a good idea about at the present time. So how are we going to go, what's our approach for validation? We have two hypotheses. The first hypothesis is that remotely sensed observations can best be validated through the use of a rigorous statistical methodology that accounts for variability in the data at multiple space and time scales. we've got to understand what's affecting these remotely sensed measurements at both the scales of measurement that we're more familiar with, the point scale, but then we have to understand, we have to figure out how we can extend that to these larger scales that remote sensing images capture. So at the point scale, I can think about what's the uncertainty in these images due to soil moisture, this microtopography, this clay content shrink and swell, how is that affecting this, for example, in this image, the path length change? How is the vegetation water content that may attenuate this signal also affecting it? Our challenge is to put some numbers on all these different variables that affect the measurement so that we can have an overall uncertainty for this remote sensing image. And we've got to do it both at points but also for the larger scales. Our second hypothesis is that we can best validate these remotely sensed observations if we integrate all the relevant variables together to better constrain what we're actually after. So for example, let's think about soil moisture. So traditionally what we've done is we've gone out and measured soil moisture in situ and compared that with remotely sensed images of soil moisture. But why don't we put the whole picture together and also measure precipitation, the input to soil moisture, and evapotranspiration and infiltration into deeper layers together with the soil moisture measurement to better constrain what that measurement is, because we can't measure it for certain. If we have more variables, I think we can do a better job. And presently, there's not a complete set of high quality and long-term data. We often do these remote sensing validation campaigns in short periods of time, only in a single season. And there are large parts of the year that we haven't looked at, where things like vegetation are changing, soils are freezing and thawing, so forth and so on. So our answer is to develop a validation site in Iowa long term, where we're making very careful measurements of these different quantities so we can better validate these remote sensing measurements that are made either by satellites, by airplanes, maybe not a biplane, but and by perhaps UAVs, and with ground-based remote sensing instruments. And the general strategy is to make point measurements at many space and scales over a long period of time, and our point measurements are on a wireless network so we can get access to this data very quickly and easily. So here are just a few characteristics of the site. It's a very small, about a square kilometer, remote sensing validation site that's in an agricultural field, a corn-soybean rotation in the U.S. Midwest, just south of the campus of Iowa State University. We're, again, collecting all the data with custom wireless technologies that have been developed by the University of Iowa. And we want not only to use the data, but we want other people to use this also. So we'd like to be a community resource. We'd like to have partners come work with our data and help us solve some of these problems. And we're going to be making shortly this data available in almost real time via the web. Our initial focus at the site is going to be on remotely sensed observation of soil moisture because of some exciting opportunities are coming up here in the next couple of years. One of those opportunities is a European Space Agency satellite called SMOS, the Soil Moisture and Ocean Salinity Mission. Just came back from a meeting in Italy, and they've set the launch date for the end of October in 2008. And this will be the first satellite that will be able to make global scale measurements of water content in the near surface. NASA has also plans for a similar satellite that maybe would be launching in the next decade at some point. This satellite carries a payload that's a passive microwave remote sensing instrument that can, again, detect the water content of the first several centimeters, 4 to 5 centimeters, of the Earth's surface. So here's what the validation site looks like. We have two eddy correlation flux towers that measure evapotranspiration located near the center of the field. One maintained by the University of Iowa, one by the Soltilth Lab. Five four-component net radiation stations. Radiations was what driving these processes at the surface. We have 15 soil moisture and temperature measurement sites, and 7 sites where we're measuring precipitation. The colors here represent the topography of the site. We have kind of a ridge here in the middle and some low areas on either side. Here is a picture of one of the eddy correlation flux towers, where again that can measure some of these other variables that we'd like to integrate together to get a better handle on the soil moisture reservoir, specifically the evapotranspiration component, but also other things as well. Here's an example of the four-component radiation measurements that we're making with some Kippen Zonin sensors that measure solar, atmospheric, reflected solar, and ground emission. Here's an example of some of the precipitation sensors installed by the University of Iowa. They use a dual tipping bucket design that they found is much less susceptible to errors. And then here's an example of one of the soil moisture and temperature sites, where we're using CS616 water content reflectometers and custom soil temperature sensors to measure water content at several different depths, two at a centimeter and a half and two at 4.5 centimeters, to characterize this depth of soil that these future remote sensing satellites will be sensitive to, another one at 15, another one at 30, and then one at 60. And along with that, Sally Logston of the USDA ARS has also installed neutron access tubes to make measurements of the total soil water content profile at each station, and also installed water table wells to measure the depth to the water table. Here's some pictures of what activities are happening at site. I have a crane-mounted microwave radiometer that I'll be using at the site. We need to make other measurements, such as leaf area index, to characterize the effect of vegetation on the remote sensing signal. Here's a picture of the site, and here's an example of the wireless communication. Just some early results. We've been measuring the particle size fractions of each of the sites where we're making soil moisture measurements. And notice that we have some sites that are very sandy, like 707 here, and some sites that have very fine particles, like 714. Here's an example of water content measurements made with the CS616 instruments at different depths below the surface. Notice that the 15 centimeter measurement right here is a little bit low. So this is just an example of how we're going to have to be very careful about calibrating these instruments to the specific soil texture and temperature that we find at each site. Here's another example of depth to water table that we're measuring, another variable that can help us constrain the soil moisture variable that we'd like to get. So at some sites, we won't have to go very deep to get to that water table. This is the annual variation here. But other sites, we've got to go almost 4 meters down to get to the water table. And finally, here's the total integrated water content of the root zone. You can think of it as it changes over the year for the entire site. We start out pretty wet here in the early parts of the summer, and then it dries out here as we get into fall. Moisture above the water table. So here's the summary. Again, I think it's remote sensing is the only viable option that we have to make measurements of regional, watershed scale, continental scale, global scale hydrology. It's just, I don't think there's any question about it. We can't survive on these point measurements that we've made previously. The problem is that it's difficult, and we haven't done this yet, to validate these remotely sensed measurements. Our approach at the validation site is to carefully quantify this data variability at multiple space and time scales, and also to integrate many other processes together so we can better constrain the specific variable that we're trying to remotely sense.